The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
So, unfortunately, we see young people in as the latest victims of violence in the city of Philadelphia. Philadelphia police say yesterday afternoon, a 16-year-old boy was gunned down. This was a targeted hit in the city's Oxford Circle section of the city. Police saying that these guys fired more than 50 shots before then standing over the 16-year-old boy and continuing to fire into his body, killing him. Just a brutal execution of a child.
That's the perfect word for it, Dawn. Execution.
And then a 15-year-old girl, she's recovering from being shot in the neck. This is a separate incident in the Logan section of Philadelphia. So residents of the 19th District joining police for that community meeting last night at the Baptist Church, their Vine Memorial Baptist Church, that's in West Philadelphia. And this one, after that weekend shooting that we had talked about, where we had about 100 people showing up, different shootings, multiple mass shootings over the weekend. And so community police captain met with the community, but as well, those block captains, neighbors, families gathering to talk to police about what they can do, you know, to try to quell the violence. So that meeting after the mass shooting Sunday morning that happened at an unsanctioned block party. Usually you try to, I don't think you even have to pay anything if you're having a gathering. You do notify your district, let them know. And so that way they can provide some extra patrolling, extra policing, extra security. Three people were killed Sunday back in the one where the community meeting was planned. Six others wounded. They're still recovering in the hospital. That one was the 1200 block of North Alden Street after multiple people had opened fire. Now, we do know that the police have identified the victims killed. 33-year-old Akil Jones, his younger brother, 29-year-old Rashi Jones, and then an unrelated individual, 23-year-old Sakai Robinson. As far as Tahir Schoetz, who is 28 years old, he was also shot. Originally, they thought he was one of the victims. However, he's now being charged with 3 counts of homicide, 5 counts of aggravated assault and related charges. This 28-year-old who was shot, he actually is accused of starting this whole thing and killing the others, including, like I say, a tragic situation with those two brothers. You know, in Philadelphia, we heard Mayor Sherelle Parker speaking out, calling West Philadelphia the wild, wild west over the weekend. And as far as these shootings, just saying, this is not acceptable. We will shut this down. And they're looking at reallocation of police.
Good. Yeah. Let's add to the budget. Let's get more people on staff, get them trained, get them on the streets.
Yes.
You know?
In Pennsylvania, Governor Josh Shapiro neither confirms nor denies he's in the running.
Yeah.
For the Veep nomination, which means, of course, he is.
Of course. Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
So he's certainly in the top, depending on who you listen to, top three.
Yeah.
Top five.
I saw 6ABC with a report that said the top two were Shapiro and Senator Kelly from Arizona, which makes me think, you know, obviously, I think Pennsylvania takes precedence over Arizona as far as determining the election if you're looking at just two swing states. But don't you always, especially when you talk about who's got a higher profile, and I know Shapiro's not a nationally known commodity yet, but he is obviously statewide. Don't you always have to go with a governor over a senator or a congressman?
Generally speaking, they stay away from senators. That's
yeah,
true.
And I say that knowing that J.D. Vance is a senator, but I would lean governor, but that's just me.
And J.D. Vance has military experience, so I think that's a factor.
For sure. For sure.
Also, there's a new CNN poll out that basically says that J.D. Vance is the most unpopular vice presidential candidate since 1980.
What? Is that true? Really?
Yeah, yeah. I'll play that later.
Oh. This is CNN. They're getting ripped, by the way, for John King talking
not
about...
Not Bill King, Dawn.
Not Bill.
John King.
It's John King, or as he's known in some circles, Dana's ex.
Yes, that's what I refer to him as, first and foremost.
So, but yeah, CNN being ripped for that comment, which was really John King, who's a longtime analyst, saying the quiet part out loud, that the Democrats are so worried about an Arab American or pro-Palestinian vote that they're more worried about losing Michigan or Minnesota, would not want somebody like Shapiro, who is a man of faith and is Jewish.
And in related news, if I was a Jewish Democrat, I would be worried today at 2 p.m. as Benjamin Netanyahu comes today, that the fact that Kamala Harris will not be present for that.
Well, she's busy.
Well, yeah.
She's busy, Nick.
She's in Milwaukee.
She's, you know, got to go to Milwaukee.
Right.
So that was just it. She was getting, they showed the optics of it. She was getting on the plane, couldn't get out fast enough to not have the optics of the joint session of Congress, hearing from Netanyahu, who wants support. I know that Benjamin Netanyahu plans on meeting with Trump at Mar-a-Lago. That's on Friday. And this all amid many protests. And I'll point out that yesterday's protests, which were in a building right near the Capitol building, but more protests planned for today. None of these are sanctioned. None of these individuals were allowed to come into the Capitol, were allowed to protest, and we saw them being zip-tied and taken away.
Very insurrection-y, in my opinion. Very insurrection-y. I had nightmares and flashbacks last night in my sleep of January 6th.
By the way, getting back to Shapiro for a second, they said that in this morning's Inquirer, they're saying that the odds makers, like if you're placing bets on who the vice president is, Shapiro is the most likely.
Yes. I also saw, and I think it was you that sent this last night, the Inquirer almost sounded like they were trying to, hey, tone it down, pump the brakes with the hype on Shapiro.
They were.
Because the person he defeated 2 years ago was an awful candidate.
Yes.
So
that's basically, he's never really had any hard competition is basically what the Inquirer said.
Interesting coming from the Inquirer, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, they were almost ripping him. Like,
almost didn't see that coming either.
Like he's not battle tested.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
just interesting.
They're trying to lower the bar, perhaps.
Well, you know what though, Shapiro has received technically more votes in his lifetime than Kamala Harris. Just saying, you know, for the installed vice president and the soon to be installed potential president.
And of course, we have President Joe Biden addressing the nation later this afternoon. Talking about why, and we'll see him for the first time.
8 o'clock tonight.
So,
well, technically, we saw him yesterday. He got off the plane. He waved.
Oh, that's true. Technically.
Technically.
He didn't know where he was.
But we'll hear from him and see him at the same time.
Do you think he knows he's out of the race?
Stop. And as well, we also have the word that former President Trump will no longer do these open air rallies after the assassination attempts.
That's officially confirmed from his team.
That's NBC News was reporting it.
Okay, because I saw a headline saying the Trump campaign has been advised that they should no longer, you know, err on the side of caution with your outdoor rallies. And you know Trump loves his outdoor rallies. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. So the Secret Service and other authorities are saying it's better off to go into an arena. No, no, no. How about you do your stinking job, and then he wouldn't have to go inside.
Amen.
Instead of fixing the problem, let's pivot and go to Plan B because Plan A won't work because of your incompetence. No.
Well, this is true.
Yeah.
And by the way, New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez, now obviously convicted and nicknamed Gold Bar Bob, has now agreed that he will step down. He will resign, not until August 20th, though, but that does give New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy time to then place somebody, an appointee, in that job until the November 5th election.
Okay.
So we got that going on, which is nice. We also have our Twins pulled that one out against the Twins, our Phillies.
They needed that.
Beating
one.
The Twins,
they
3-0 in the ninth, right?
Really bad, yeah.
Yeek. Yes, they did.
Rubber match today at 1:10, I think.
Yeah, some very innocuous series the last few days. You know, Pittsburgh, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just these are the dog days.
These are the games they really need to win, though.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And a nice hot humid day for Eagles training camp.
Oh, it starts today, doesn't
it? Yeah.
Oh, Tony Bruno will have a full camp preview coming in at 8:30. He loves stuff like that. Who will be the third string right tackle? Who will be the 53rd man on the roster?
Oh, God.
Tony Bruno will break it down.
It's exciting thinking about football. So today, 84 degrees. We're still in the 80s, 84 degrees. Like I say, it's cloudy right now, kind of a spitting, spattering out there, just very light. And we could see chances late this evening. We could see more showers tomorrow for your Thursday, 85 degrees. The humidity continues. However, Thursday night, we have a cold front moving in, and that's not changing the temperatures as much on paper, but it's changing the humidity levels. So Thursday night, we could see some kind of sweeping storms and showers moving through. That will tee us up for Friday, 86 degrees, but it's going to feel so much better because that humidity is just lifted away. It has felt like tropical air. And then for your weekend, just a gorgeous weekend, but hot. Saturday, 89 degrees. Still that lower humidity, though. Sunday, 90. And Sunday begins that sunny, hot stretch. We're back in the 90s Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday until rain next Wednesday. Piazza Auto Group sponsors us this morning during the Volkswagen Savvy Summer Sales Event. You get 0.9% financing for 60 months or a $3,500 customer bonus on new 2024 Atlas models. Just visit Piazza Volkswagen of Ardmore and Langhorne or visit them at piazzavw.com for more details. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group, for sponsoring Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Yeah, that VW Atlas is beautiful. I tell you what, the wife's already got her eyes pinpointed on that one.
Yeah.
She's like, you know how gorgeous that is? And it's like 50 grand less than an Audi Q7. I'm like, I'm aware. I'm aware. And we'll get one.
See, because that's what women do, especially wives. Like, we go, look at how much money you save on that Piazza.
Shocking revelations, Dawn. Yesterday, Kristen and I went to Aldi's together. I got out of there for $80. I felt like I hit the Powerball. Staggering developments.
We can save you money.
2 days ago, I discovered YouTube TV. Now I find out about Aldi's.
It's a whole new world.
It's only upward and onward from here, Dawn. I am ready to take the world by the horns. Let's get to a midweek big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, cooked and canned Cheadle. That's how I like it. The DEI horror story has come to an end. In a shocking and unforeseen pivot late Tuesday morning, the director of the Secret Service, Kimberly Cheadle, has resigned from her post after being eviscerated by both Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill on Monday. And everybody on this show and a majority of you never thought that she would be fired or step down. But clearly, the mounting pressure was too much to overcome after a complete and total failure by her administration. A major victory for common sense, accountability, and responsibility. And now Ms. Cheadle can go back to protecting snacks and beverages and not former presidents. The disgraced Cheadle sent the following letter to the U.S. Secret Service on Tuesday morning saying, quote, to the men and women of the U.S. Secret Service, the Secret Service's solemn mission is to protect our nation's leaders and financial infrastructure. On July 13th, we fell short on that mission. As your director, I take full responsibility for the security lapse. Cheadle also went on to say that the, quote, scrutiny over the last week has been, quote, intense and will continue to remain as our operational tempo increases, end quote. Here was Donald Trump in more of his interview with Jesse Waters last night, talking about the deceased shooter being a loner and the depths to which the 20-year-old had raised suspicions. Listen and watch this.
Well, you just don't know. It doesn't look like it, does it? But now we're finding out that he had some encrypted phone numbers and to foreign countries, which a little bit surprises me. When you look at him, he was somebody that was bullied in school. And, you know, you hear all different stories. I would say probably he was a loner. But you don't know that. They have to check out the phone numbers. They have to check out the phone. I think they were able to break into his phone. I think. I hope. I would hope so. For a crime like this, you have to be able to break into a phone. You know, because they pride themselves on not allowing people to break in. And government can't get in. Apple can let you in. So I don't know exactly what happened. But assassination is big stuff. and you have to get to it.
You're damn right. Assassination is big stuff. And it took 10 days for Cheadle to resign. Cheadle actually had the gumption to say, quote, "The incident does not define us." I would beg to differ. It defines the Secret Service. It defines your tenure. It defines why a DEI hire is not merit-based when they should be. I disagree with every word that she has uttered. Cheadle went on to say in her letter, quote, "We remain an organization based on integrity and staffed by individuals of exceptional dedication and talent," end quote. Here's more of Trump with Waters on Fox News, raising the questions of how this slipped through the cracks. Listen and watch.
It just shouldn't have been when you have essentially a flat, open roof like that, and it's direct to the target with absolutely nothing in its way. How can somebody be up there? And he was up there for a long period of time because they have tape of him moving all over the place. And then they see him and they don't report him. Who was the policeman or the, I guess it was local police, who looked at him, saw him standing with a gun? I think the guy saw him and this guy dropped off the roof. And I don't blame him for that. What I do blame him for is why isn't he calling everybody screaming and saying, "There's a guy with a gun up there"? What did he do when he dropped off the roof? Did he just go away and say, like, nothing? That's a big factor. Who was he? And why did he do that? Why didn't we know about that? Because I would have, you know, oftentimes, based on weather and based on other things, I'd say, "Sir, would you wait 10 minutes before you go out, please?" We never had a case like this. But certainly if they said, "Would you wait 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes because we have a possible problem, unlikely but possible," I wish somebody would have done that because Corey would be alive and two people that were seriously hurt would not be hurt. And we wouldn't have had all of the things that we've gone through over the last period of time.
Cheadle would go on to write more of her forced, contrived nonsense, saying, quote, "I love this agency, our mission, and the great men and women who sacrifice so much every day. I have and always will put the needs of this agency first," end quote. Yeah, except for the fact the needs of Donald Trump were not met, and that is the mission statement of the Secret Service. He was out there like a sitting duck. Target practice. A 20-year-old made you look stupid. Cheadle wraps by saying, quote, "In light of the recent events, it is with a heavy heart that I have made the difficult decision to step down as your director," end quote. It's actually an easy decision, Kimberly. You can't allow a former president or a current sitting president to come within millimeters of death. That is a fireable offense, regardless if you resigned or if your hand was forced. Here's Trump and J.D. Vance talking about Cheadle in this final clip. Listen and watch.
But he should have made sure there was nobody on that roof. That roof was a dead aim right onto the stage. And they said they didn't have the manpower for it, which is crazy. 130 yards is like sinking a one-foot putt. It's considered really close.
Absolutely right.
It sounds like a lot, but it's really, from that standpoint, it's a very, you know, it's very close. And I was surprised by that, actually. They said it's a bad shot would usually hit the target. And it's got to be, somebody's got to be there. And it's essentially a flat roof. I mean, I noticed that she said, well, this is a slope roof. Well, you think of like a barn where you have this thing had just a little upswing in it, a few degrees. This was essentially was a flat roof. So I don't know. Somebody gave her false information when she talked about the slope of the roof. I thought she was very nice, but you know, you have to answer, why couldn't I have stayed off the stage for 5 minutes while they do their work? Why couldn't, how does a situation happen where a roof that's plainly in sight from the location where I was speaking, why would somebody not have seen that?
You were briefed, your office was briefed by Cheadle. Are you satisfied with this situation?
No.
And do you feel safe with Cheadle running the Secret Service?
Look, I think clearly she needs to be more forthcoming. She needs to actually sit before people, answer all their questions, and let people know what happened. When you try to hide information and hide from question asking, that's, I think, what leads people to believe that there's something to be hidden from.
And it should have been an easy decision for the commander-in-chief. But a week and a half went by, and Joe Biden failed to fire his wife's recommendation. Why in the world is the First Lady giving her input to protecting presidents. What qualifications does Dr. Jill have in security, snipers, or Secret Service? Biden writes the following yesterday, quote, "I am grateful to Director Kim Cheadle for her decades of public service." Keep in mind, Joe probably doesn't even know if the director was a man or a woman. I give you Lloyd Austin as Exhibit A. Biden continues, quote, "As a leader, it takes honor, courage, and incredible integrity to take full responsibility for an organization tasked with one of the most challenging jobs in public service. We all know what happened that day can never happen again. As we move forward, I wish Kim the best," end quote. Biden says he will appoint a new director soon. Well, that's reassuring. And following the departure of Cheadle, Donald Trump issuing this statement saying, quote, "She never gave me proper protection, so I ended up having to take a bullet for democracy. Many requests were made by on-site Secret Service for more people, always with a turn down or no response. I have the biggest crowds in history, and they should be treated accordingly." Trump did say, quote, "Big improvements have been made over the last week." Well, isn't that nice of the Secret Service? Lose part of your ear, gain some additional resources. The art of the deal. So was this a lone rogue 20-year-old, or was there something more? Well, an Air Force veteran at the Pennsylvania rally on Saturday said, quote, "Something wasn't right. I want to introduce you to Sarah Taylor. She is an 18-year female veteran who served in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Kuwait, and she told Fox News the following, that she was initially excited about attending her first Trump rally, but as soon as she and her friend secured their position, some 100 yards from where the president was speaking, they could not help but notice, quote, an eerie building behind them. Here's a direct quote from her. "The fence was there. Right behind us was the building the shooter was on. And we talked about it a lot because it was just really eerie, and my spidey senses were up. I had been in the military for 18 years, and something was not right about the area. We just kept looking back at it thinking, something is not right. I used to look around, and I'm used to looking at my surroundings. I was deployed overseas. I knew something wasn't right. At some point, I don't know what time it was, Trump was supposed to speak at 5. He didn't speak until 6. So a little bit before 5, I noticed that the sharpshooters got up and they got an angle. And the one sharpshooter that was standing to the right of the gentleman with the gun, I think he was the lookout, had binoculars, and it was kind of like they saw something. Prior to that, they were just setting up that kind of stuff, but it seemed like there was something that provoked their attention. There should have been counter snipers on top of that AGR building," end quote. That's just amazing. I'd like to nominate Sarah Taylor to replace Kimberly Cheadle. And it's no wonder why nobody can trust the government, and our faith in our institutions is at an all-time low over the last 4 years. Cheadle is out, Trump is alive, but the ineptitude and the incompetence will persist in all walks of life if we continue with the facade of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Meritocracy should be our guiding principle. If it's not, profits can dwindle, lives can be jeopardized, all in the name of what? Your feelings? It's a hard pass for me. Hopefully that'll change on November 5th, when America's most recognizable DEI hire seeks the highest office in the land. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, big take this morning. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210. Social media, that works as well, at 1210WPHT. And, of course, in the YouTube chat, it's the Kale and Company comment community. Just go to YouTube.com to watch the show /at1210WPHT. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe buttons. We'll come back at everybody's thoughts on Cheadle's dismissal, as well as the father of the now-deceased shooter speaking out, and an updated timeline courtesy of the Pennsylvania State Police following yesterday's testimony. That's all still ahead. Kale and Company, as we continue live on a Wednesday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Don't forget today, Kamala Harris will visit an Indianapolis sorority, which means she will not be able to attend Bibi Netanyahu's speech. An Indy sorority.
So the report is that they're going to meet privately.
Oh, Harrison. Can't be seen publicly with the leader of Israel, right?
privately.
We'll chat behind closed doors. I want to tick off my squad Dems. If I was Netanyahu, I'd be like, I'm a little busy. I'll have to get back to you about that.
So Fulton Jack writes us, Nick, and it says, Kamala is playing it perfectly. She will get the Arab and Muslim voters back who might have stayed home. And if you think American Jews will put Israel ahead of electing Democrats, you need your head examined. The Democrats will get their kabuki theater today, dissing Bibi, and win Michigan. And on Election Day, Harris will get 85 to 90% of the Jewish vote. Sorry, guys. Reality sucks.
Oh, okay. I mean, look, if you're a Jewish person and you still vote for Kamala Harris, I guess that's your problem. I'm not Jewish and I'm not voting Democrat, so I can't understand and get inside of your head. And maybe that is the case. We will see. And look, maybe 85% of the black vote will go Democrat. We'll see. Time will tell. Polls are one thing. Take them with a grain of salt, and we'll see how it plays out. I think it's a major miscalculation if they do not select Josh Shapiro to be Kamala's vice president because he's Jewish.
Major, though?
Major.
They're not going to say it's because of...
Well, of course not. No, of course not. They're going to sit there and spin in the qualifications of whoever they select. I'm just thinking back to that John King clip where John kind of, you know, and John King speaks very, very quickly, right? So he just slips that in there, and most people probably didn't even pick up on it. But I think Shapiro should be the guy. If I was James Carville, I would be saying, you know what, Kamala should be selecting Josh Shapiro. We'll get to her, though. Yesterday, Kimberly Cheadle resigns. I was grocery shopping when it happened.
You were at Aldi?
I was.
By the time I got to Aldi... At like 7:30 at night, they were out of bananas.
I took them all. I couldn't believe the prices.
I
had a whole portable bag. I walked out, loaded up the back of the truck. I was like, bananas for everybody. Who wants a banana? Spoiled bananas, ripe bananas, not ripe enough bananas, very green, hard bananas. I took all the bananas. So I'm not sure. Did the Cheadle resignation occur in your block between 10 and noon?
It did.
Yes. Yeah, so
okay, so what was your reaction? I'm imagining you were shocked?
No.
No?
No, I wasn't shocked.
Okay.
Because I don't even remember saying that I didn't think she'd resign.
I thought we were all of the belief that we would not see a resignation. Because nobody ever steps down or gets fired in government, right? Like, that was my thing. Like, yes, there's it defending her continued job and maintaining employment. There was just no way that you could argue that. So that's where I think a lot of this, you know, conspiracy theory stuff comes from, because there's just no logistical, logical reason to defend how there was not somebody on that roof. But when I got out of Aldi and I didn't have service and I looked at my phone, I saw that she resigned. Biden makes Biden probably didn't write that letter. Mm-hmm. Somebody wrote that for Joe. And next thing I know, Joe's resurfacing. All coincidentally in time. And oh, by the way, the her transcript is available now conveniently 48 hours after
not
Joe.
Not she, her.
Right, right. H-U-R.
Thank you.
A different set of pronouns. But your thoughts on Kimberly Cheadle?
I would love to. Someday she'll speak out or write a book, and I would love to know her inside story, what really happened. I would be very interested in what she says. Because, and this goes to some of what Greg said the other day, is that, you know, she's somebody who clearly was thrown under the bus. And I think she also is an example of the Bidens hiring people who they are familiar with, not necessarily. I mean, for Jill Biden, did she like her because she's a woman, or did she? Joe, she's a nice lady. Remember, she was on your Veep detail. We like her. You know what I mean? And so I think sometimes it's nepotism. It's they take these jobs as if they're favors, and they let their dogs bite these same individuals. I mean, I just feel like they've been in government for so long that they look at maybe all of these individuals as more of servants.
It almost feels like instead of voting for these people, electing these people, appointing these people, it feels like a coronation. Like if you stick around long enough, you'll eventually make your way up to the top. You just have to avoid detection, avoid being exposed for a fraud, avoid being labeled incompetent, and then whoever you have a relationship with, as they ascend the ladder, they don't forget about you because you were loyal to them. So they bring you up to the perch with them when maybe you don't have the resume to match the job requirements that you should.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's almost, maybe because I'm watching like House of Dragons and I'm a Game of Thrones fan, it just feels like on one side with the Bidens especially, they, you know, it's almost like Joe Biden wants to be called Your Grace,
mm-hmm.
and you will serve me. And, oh, well, too bad. Off with her head. And where's the next one?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like there's not this. It's more about them and their power, their dynasty, their legacy, than viewing it as a job that needs to be done. And how, okay, let's get in here. Let's get to work. Everybody get to work. Let's get this done. Mm-hmm. Let's fix the economy. Let's fix this. There's just a different feel and a different attitude.
There really is. You're exactly right with the entire vibe that this administration gives off. CNN with details yesterday of the Pennsylvania State Police Commissioner and what he revealed about the Trump shooting. So a local law enforcement commissioner revealed during a House Homeland Security hearing on Tuesday some stunning new details. Pennsylvania State Police Commissioner Christopher Parris' striking testimony comes just one day after Cheadle testified. Parris told lawmakers about the communications between the Secret Service and local law enforcement who initially spotted Crooks, the would-be assassin. He also described a more detailed timeline from when officers first spotted Crooks in the crowd to when he opened fire on Trump. Here's what to know from Tuesday's hearing. Two local law enforcement officers left the building with vantage points overlooking the roof where Crooks took aim at Donald Trump. That is according to testimony from Parris. Parris said that the two officers with the Butler County Emergency Services Unit, a tactical force with sniper capabilities, left their posts in the building to look for a suspicious individual that they first spotted and alerted to other local law enforcement, that person being Crooks. Quote, so are you then saying, to your knowledge, those ESU officers left the location where they could look out the window to go in search of this person? That was a question posed by Republican Representative Dan Bishop of North Carolina. Quote, that is my understanding, Parris said. I don't want to establish a timeline minute by minute because we don't have that yet. Bishop also questioned whether the two officers who left their posts could have seen Crooks climb on top of the roof if they had stayed put. Parris said he did not know. Parris also told lawmakers that Crooks was on the roof for roughly 3 minutes, correcting a shorter time frame that he gave earlier, but only a few seconds passed between when the officer confronted him and when he fired shots at Donald Trump. And according to Parris, when we talk about these communications, remember we talked about the radio yesterday, are these conversations recorded? According to Parris, they had a text thread going. It's just like Kale and Company for the morning show. We have a text thread, right? Yeah, how's this look for 6:45 tomorrow? We'll put that in the C block. Great. At some point, when he utilized the rangefinder, the suspicion was heightened. State police verbally turned right around and gave that information to Secret Service. That is according to Parris. Unbelievable. I do have some specifics of the timeline. Now, these are not necessarily timestamps across the board, but I think the New York Post has done a good job, and I just want to give you these right now. So, and this goes back to Friday. Friday, July 12th, okay, the day before the shooting, Crooks visits the Clareton Sportsman's Club to practice shooting. On Saturday morning, July 13th, Crooks shops at Home Depot and purchases a 5-foot ladder. Saturday morning, July 13th, Crooks visits the Allegheny Gun Store for 50 rounds of ammunition. He then makes the 60-minute drive from his hometown of Bethel Park to Butler, PA for the rally. Now we get some specific times. Saturday at 3 p.m., Crooks enters the rally and metal detectors pick up a rangefinder that he carried inside. He was still permitted to enter, but authorities kept a close eye on him until he left the secure area. Saturday at 5:06, video appears to show a man matching Crooks' description.
Can you stop right there with the...
Yep.
So, he had the rangefinder. We knew this last week, but I just want to emphasize this. He went in at 3 o'clock.
Correct.
Through the metal detector, had the rangefinder, and they still let him in.
Yep. Apparently the metal detector went off, they saw it, and they still let him in.
Did they not think, I wonder why...
Who needs a rangefinder?
This little punk.
Is that a rangefinder in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
That alone should have... I mean, we can't get through... You can't get on an airplane with tubes of toothpaste.
Wait, I can't get through the Odyssey first floor with my badge once I swipe and go through the little thing without it beeping three times before the front desk turns the thing off. And I work here, and I'm here every day.
You can't go to a lot of concerts with an umbrella.
Yes.
Yes, 100%. You know? Yeah, this is... It should have ended right there. So who's responsible for that security going in? Is that local? It's a great question.
Who's sitting there at that metal detector? Yeah. Is that a state police officer, a Butler ESU? I doubt it's Secret Service at that point. I would imagine Secret Service is closer to the stage, the surrounding perimeter, the buildings that you can climb up on.
Yeah, no, that's the first failure.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. So that's at 5:06. A video appears to show a man matching Crook's description walking near a building just past the secured perimeter for the rally. He does not appear to have the rifle on him. Saturday, 5:55 p.m. Secret Service is warned of the suspicious person, identifies him as a, quote, threat, but allows Trump to take the stage anyway. Remember the word salad from Cheadle where she said, well, there's a difference between a suspect, a suspicious person, and a threat. So at 5:55, he was labeled a threat. 14 minutes later, Saturday at 6:09 p.m., Crooks climbs onto the roof of the American Glass Research Complex. He did not use the ladder he had purchased to climb onto the roof, and it was not found at the scene. Instead, he used the air conditioning unit to hoist himself up. 6:10, he lays flat on the...
There was a ladder found.
Not according to this timeline. 6:10, Crooks lays on the roof as he prepares to take aim and fire. 6:11, Crooks fires at least five times according to this, although we know it's eight total bullets, killing Corey Comparator and injuring two others. Trump is hit. 6:11, Crooks is immediately shot and killed by Secret Service. A cell phone and a remote transmitter are found next to his body. And then at 6:11, Trump is rushed away. So there's your most detailed timeline that I have found to date.
So they have new body cam footage from the roof.
I saw this, yes.
It's graphic.
It is, because you can see... Well, they kind of blur out the body.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you guys think about playing some of it?
Sure. I mean, if the YouTube crowd will see it, for sure.
Take a poll on the YouTube chat.
Is there audio that we can actually decipher?
There is. Okay. You can hear it... Let's stick with it for a couple seconds, okay. And then if you really can't understand it, we can bail. Phil, this is cut 16. Cut 16, my friend, go.
So we don't know. So this is the guy
Beaver County sniper team has sent the pictures out. This is him.
Okay.
Rifle's right there, obviously.
Got it.
The rifle's right there.
In the back. Is he on that bike?
We don't know.
So
I don't
just
know.
Treating that as suspicious device.
Oh, one second. I believe the sniper that seen these and sent the pictures is right inside this building. Michelle, is Greg in there? All right, so if you go to that window that's open and yell for Greg, that's the sniper that sent the original pictures and seen him come from the bike and set the
Greg Stalker?
He's the one that sent the pictures out. I don't know if you got the same ones I did.
I think I did, yeah. He's like got his glasses on and he's...
And you can see...
Is that the cell phone they recovered?
I mean, look at that roof, guys. That is not a sloped roof.
No.
That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. I'd be able to keep my balance on that roof after seven doubles. Give me a break. Too sloped.
And we have somebody detained, correct?
That I don't know.
Our guy that was just up here told me that there's a guy detained who's the owner of the bike. And I said, no, that's the owner of the bike.
The dead guy is the owner of the bike.
Is that all your stuff?
That was one of them.
So someone came up looking to treat him.
Yes.
Gas is off to the building, just so you know.
Thank you.
So there you go. We can play a little bit of it.
Is it me or does that sound completely disjointed? Like nobody had an idea what was going on.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but is he? I infer from that conversation that the Secret Service was aware there was somebody on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
which makes you wonder why he wasn't. And even if you're going to say, and Trump has even said this in his interview with Jesse Waters, well, you want to make sure that the guy's a threat and it's not a friendly. Like, I mean, even if you're not sure, why don't you just put one in the guy's leg? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I just,
like, why risk the guy being killed?
Yeah. I think, and we've heard from, you know, people who've been in those positions, those security positions, that if somebody's up on the roof like that, you have the authority to take them out.
Yeah.
Because there were reports, well, maybe they were hesitating, thinking it was law enforcement. I think the word is, if you see somebody up there and they're not one of you take the shot.
There, this, to me, from just, you know, we played 90 seconds of that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, these guys sound like they have no effing clue.
Yes,
what's happening?
That's scary.
Like they're like, well, the bike. Did you get that guy? Did you?
Yeah.
And they're all just standing up there.
Yeah.
Just hanging out.
Like they just arrived at the whole grounds 10 minutes ago.
And it like there's no slope. I mean, the whole narrative about this thing is a fugazi.
It's total failure.
Yeah.
It is a total failure. Chris on Twitter says Secret Service runs the metal detector. So
okay.
If that's true.
Yeah, Road Warrior on the YouTube chat says you're giving them too much credit that they actually know what a rangefinder is. Because it's like a little...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it's a device.
Exactly.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, even if you don't know what it is,
yeah,
and you're coming through and there's a cylinder or device that somebody has, you could say to the person, well, what is... If you didn't know what it was, well, what is this?
Yeah, and if he says it's a rangefinder, you say, well, what do you need the rangefinder
for? Yeah, you know?
What, do you want a golf course?
So I just think, you know, I always get the all the Trump stuff, buy a Trump hat, Trump shoes. Why don't we have a Trump clear black backpack? And the next event, everybody just have that clear backpack.
Yeah.
They're really cheap. Just let's not have objects coming into the rallies. He did have another. They said that there was 2 days after the attempted assassination, there was another guy arrested who was threatening. So the problem with this is just in general in the news business, there are always copycats. And the more that this is in the headlines, there are copycats, even though the shooter, you know, was killed.
Phil Almquist went to see the Foo Fighters last night in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I can guarantee you the security getting into that show was way more strict than getting into this Trump rally. There's I can almost guarantee you that.
That's crazy and scary.
Yeah. And he has a cool t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, of course. We'll hear from him in about 3 hours from now. 855-839-1210. Mike is in Flemington. He's up first this morning. Mike, you go right ahead.
Hey, first, great show. I love you guys, and you make my drive very easy. But I have two quick points. I'm a retired DHS agent, and I have worked with the Secret Service before. The problem isn't the rangefinder, because a rangefinder without a weapon does nothing. The problem is that when you do these events, you're supposed to do a detailed sweep of the area to check for bombs, to check for anything. The fact that he was able to hide a rifle on site is the most troubling part that I'm having trouble wrapping my head around.
Great
How
point.
Did this person know that the weapon was there? How did he know they weren't going to find it? And the second point I want to make is the difference between suspicious and threat. When you see someone who's suspicious, you're supposed to mitigate that by talking to them immediately. Once you enter a rally site, you give up your freedom and they can question you at will. That didn't happen. So that suspicious person, you don't just say, here's a picture of him and let him go run around. You address it right away. Yep. Otherwise, he remains suspicious and such a threat.
Yep.
That's the only two points I wanted to point out.
No, it's a great point, Mike.
I love you guys in the morning.
Thank you very much, Mike. And you're right. You address that person and you eliminate that threat right then and there. And it's a great point. How did he get that gun in there? When did he get that gun in there? Because as I mentioned, Saturday at 5:06, a video appears to show Crooks near a building just past the secured perimeter. He does not appear to have the rifle on him. So at 5:06, he doesn't have the rifle on him. Yet at 5:59, when he's up on that rooftop, he then has the rifle. So in that 53 minutes, where did he get the rifle from, and how did that get in there?
That was my first question.
Right?
How did he, like, nowhere in that timeline does it say how he got the rifle in there.
Nope.
I guess they don't know.
Nope. I mean, was it stashed underneath the air conditioning unit?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
If so, then why didn't you sweep the grounds to eliminate that possibility? Let's wrap up the hour with Ted in Swarthmore. Ted, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Morning, Nick. Morning, Dawn. Hey, I called to say that when on the original first Trump rally in Wildwood, I went there. I checked in with Zeoli and Dawn in the morning and told them I was going to be there, and they would be able to find me because I had my hard hat on. I entered the Wildwood Convention Center about 5 feet into it, and two special service guys in full outfit, bulletproof vests on, and big long guns met me. Guy jumped in my face and told me to lose the hard hat, pal. Wow. And I told him, look, I would like to get it back. So he told me, I don't care if you throw that in the trash can. I only had a hard hat on. Mm-hmm. After that, I went into the rally, and there was one big dude that followed me everywhere I went in that rally.
Just for wearing a hard hat.
Just for wearing a hard hat that said, Trump, make America great, sticker on it.
Wow.
And I know that I was followed because my daughter was with me the whole time. I scared the daylights out of her when I confronted these two guys that had a gun, and I told him he was rude and I would gladly take it off, but I'm going to raise my hands real slow. My daughter almost had a heart attack.
Yeah.
Then I turned to her and I said, look, I'm going to go to the men's room. And that's when I figured out that this guy in a nice green shirt with some big arms, with his back to Donald Trump, standing at my right the whole time I was there.
Mm-hmm. And you felt like, so by and large, that the whole establishment there was very well secured, is what you're saying, though.
Yes, very well secured. I checked in with Rich in the morning and told him I was going to wear a hard hat, and yep. He didn't have a problem with it, but he never found me.
I'm not shocked that Rich didn't have a problem.
We got to get Trump to autograph that hard hat for you,
right?
You know?
So it seems like a stark contrast between what the security was like in Wildwood versus Butler, PA.
By the way, PA pyrotechnic fan on the YouTube chat says they believe he placed the rifle days before.
But when did his dad say, that's why the dad comes into play, because he asked his dad, he said he was going to the range.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, too, that the gun was not purchased in the last few days. He's had that gun for a while.
But it's technically dad's.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So when does dad say the gun was not in the house anymore?
That's correct.
Because I think the parents are cooperating,
mm-hmm.
but they are questioning these parents, and they've not said whether or not the dad in particular is in any way responsible or being sued by those individual, you know, by Corey or the others who were, you know, Corey killed,
yep.
the others shot. So the parents are not off the hook here.
That is correct. And we have some quotes from the father. We'll get to that as we kick off hour number two after the news. Dawn will have some news to start the 7 a.m. hour when we continue. It's Kale and Company, Wednesday morning, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday morning 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.